אוקיי, גוד איבנינג.
גוד איבנינג.
וידבר השם אל משה לאמור, דבר אל בני ישראל, ויקחו לי תרומה. טוק, הקדוש ברוך הוא עושה זמן של אבינו, you go and talk to the children of Israel, that I shall take me a donation. Take me, give me. ויקחו לי, should be, ויתנו לי. Then, מעט כל איש אשר ידבנו ליבו, תיקחו את תרומתי. You take this truma from those who are giving it from the heart. Otherwise,
don't take.
וזאת התרומה, and this is the donation you take. זהב וכסף, gold and silver, ונחושת ותכלת וארגמן, תולעת שני, a whole list. First, another question here. If somebody comes to you and tells you, I want you to give me a donation. What would be the first question you're going to ask?
For what?
And here, they tell it the whole story, and only on the end, ועשו לי מקדש ושכנתי בתוכם. And the normal thing should be, we want to build a temple. Please bring donations. So we have to understand what's going on. So first of all, what is ויקחו לי? And not ויתנו לי. So ויקחו לי and not ויתנו לי, we think that we're giving something. But the real truth is, we give nothing. Because everything we've got is from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, you know, sometimes when you feel that you give something from yourself, it's hard to give. Oh, I worked so hard for it, how can I give it? But when you realize that it's really not yours, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it to you, it's also easier to give. And also in understanding that whatever we've got is from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And when you understand this, you want to give. Amen. You want to give. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you so much, so you are grateful, so you want to give. Then, when we talk about good things, good deeds, or spirituality, what would be the first thing to talk about? Gold and silver? No, this would be the last thing we're going to talk. Because gold and silver is always, this is the, let's say it's the most materialistic thing that we have in life. Everybody is running off this to have all those joys of life. So why is the Torah choosing this at first? And only then they tell us, Vasuli Mikdash Shachanti Betucham. So as we said, the idea is that first of all, we have nothing from our own. Everything we've got, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us. Now, gold and silver, we can think that maybe they are very materialistic, but we can do so much good with it. It depends what you do with the money. And if you do good things with the money is the best thing that can be. In other words, the Torah is telling you, there is no bad things, there is no materialistic things, or gold is mukze machmat mius. No, gold is very good. Because here you see the first thing God is asking, gold. In other words, so when we talk about building a mishkan, what is a mishkan? And nevertheless, it's written mikdash. And we know that we're talking about a mishkan and not a mikdash. What is a mikdash? Mikdash is from the word sanctify. Lekadesh. Kadosh. And what is mishkan?
Mishkan.
Mishkan is mishkan, lishkon, to live in. Ani shochen beze. Ashkuna, the neighborhood. It's all come. In other words, lishkon is like God tells us, I want to live among you. I want to be with you. And Vasuli Mikdash, you build me a temple and I will dwell among you, you in plural. In English you cannot explain it because you is plural and singular. But in Hebrew it should be Vasuli Mikdash Veshachanti Betocho, not Betocham. So here we start to understand that we're talking here a whole different idea from what we thought. It's not really the building, it's not the tent, it's not the stone, it's not the all the material, it's really how do you live your life and how do you build a mishkan, a place for the Shekhinah to live. In other words, how do you do this? V'asuli mikdash. You sanctify yourself, then you have a place for God inside you. And this is the idea of building the mikdash. The mikdash is only a symbol of us. And that's, by the way, it's one of the reasons is
Mishkan.
The Mishkan, it's the same Mishkan and the Mikdash.
Could I say something? The Leakehu, they got the silver and gold from Egypt. Is it like Hashem taking it back from them? They got it as a present, more or less.
That's what we said before. It says that's what's written, Veikhu and not Veitnu. It's really not yours.
No.
But we all know, you know, this guy, he goes to in the street and suddenly he finds a big pack of money on the floor. He counts the money. He's got $1,000. That's nice. Now, there is no sign, so it's his. Money, finds money, it's yours. And he goes over a bridge and suddenly a wind comes and blows the money away and he is left with $500. And he's starting to cry, oh, I lost $500, I lost $500. So this guy meets him after behind the bridge when he finishes and crosses the bridge and asks him, why are you crying? What happened? He says, oh, I lost $500. How did you lose it? He says, I found $1,000 and then $500 says, you have to say thank you to God that you got $500. That's what God wanted to give you. But he wanted to show you that he can give and he can take and also how are you going to react? And so it's very easy to understand that God gave it to me. But what do I feel? It's me. It's mine. It's very hard to give. So if you give, also sometimes how do you give? Okay, again. No, it says you have to give it from your heart. Because you want to build what? A Mishkan. And in order to build a Mishkan for God, if you order to build a place, a home for God, you have to do it with all your heart. So, by the way, there's also another explanation by Kuli Truma. The Rambam says that the Mikdash, to build the Mikdash and the Mishkan, it's a mitzvah on the Tzibur, on the Klal, on the whole congregation, on the whole community. In other words, it's not a private thing. You cannot build a Mikdash with your own money. So what do? You have the Gabaim, they take the money from the people, put it in the same box. Now it's everybody's money.
Community.
That's the community money. Now you can build a Mishkan. So also, the idea behind it is very simple. It's not me alone. If I think only about myself, you know, that you go in shul, and a lot of shuls, some shuls decided not to do it, by the way, but in most of the shuls you see signs on everything. Donated by Baruch for the honor of his bias. Honor is this, honor is this. I saw a place even on each one of the lamps they had.
Wow.
They
had a thing.
You know, it comes to ridiculous.
IKEA or something?
The Sfaradim do it.
Not only the Sfaradim.
Not only the Sfaradim.
Everybody does it. Everybody does it.
In our show.
Everybody does it.
Yes.
The lock, the key, the thing, everything. You know, it's something, it looks so stupid. The thing.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the idea. That what God is telling us is, who cares? You know, the idea is that you give to everybody. And you don't have, you don't need your name in front that everybody will say, wow, he gave it. That's why they say,
it's actually a shul.
They say there was this, I think that one of the rabbis was trying to raise money for yeshiva. So somebody came to him and says, why you're working so hard, you're going from here to there, and it's shameful to do a thing like this. Look at the Rabbi Israel, what's his name? Not Salanter, the one who built the Yeshivat Chachmei Lublin, the one who did the Daf HaYomi. So he built this beautiful yeshiva, this unbelievable yeshiva. This yeshiva, everybody donated money. So they ask you, see, look at him, how he donated. Says that's not a big deal. You say, when you put your name on something, everybody donates. I did this, I did that. But when you need now to maintain the place, nobody wants to give anything. You know, you build a shul, and everybody donates. Oh, like I said, they have the signs here and there. But then you have to pay for the electricity. You have to pay for the air conditioning. You have to pay for a lot of other things, the daily thing. And nobody gives. Why? Because nobody sees that I gave it. And that's exactly a big lesson for us to understand. That's the way we work. So the idea is, when the idea of giving is not because I want everybody to know I gave, or I did my duty. When the idea is I give it from my heart, that's the way you build the Middash. That's why the Torah starts with the gold and the money. That's why the Torah tells V'ikhuli. And that's why the Torah tells us, Ish asher idvenu libo. It has to come from the heart. Because if it doesn't come from the heart, it's not worth nothing. And also they tell us, by the way, that to build a Mishkan, you don't build from private money, only from a communal money. You have to understand the idea behind it. It's not that, you know, sometimes you see people running a shul, which is Mikdash Me'at, like a private business or like an exclusive club. You know, I never forgot, you know, in London, in St. John's Wood, you have St. John's Wood shul. This is like a posh shul. If you are not a member there, they look at you like, who is this guy? And Chas v'Shulam, you will sit in the seat of somebody else. Whoa. I even think that when Yom Kippur Roshana, we go with tickets. If you haven't got a ticket, they don't let you go in. You know, this is maybe the way they live in this area, but that's not the idea. That's not the spirit of being Jewish.
Someone took me out from a seat that I didn't know that there was a name in the back. And they asked me to go out from the seat. A woman asked me. I was so embarrassed. I was very in Shabbos.
That's what we're talking about. You see, that's exactly what we're talking about. It's to understand the idea. And by the way, that's what's written, Ve'asuli Mikdash, in plural. Ve'asuli. Everybody is doing it. That's what the Rambam says. It's not a private thing. It's a communal thing.
They had also a lot of money, yes? Not only from the Yetziah Mitzrayim, the people. They went out, Hashem told them to take out money before they got even more
for all the Egyptians that were with these horses. They all covered with gold and things, so they say that Bizat Hayam was even greater than what they took from out of Egypt, what they took on Ein Yamsuf, on the sea. So anyway, everybody there had a lot, and though he had a lot, still had to ask people to give. And not only to give it from the heart. So in other words, it was not very clear to everybody. Not everybody understood the idea. And that's why, instead of telling them, we want to build a Mikdash, first of all, the Torah tells us, before you build anything, you need to have the good intention. You need to have the good spirit. Because otherwise, don't build. God doesn't want you to build. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu asked him to build the Mishkani, he asked, how do you want me to build a Mishkan? You are everywhere. How can I build a home for you? That's whatever I'm going to build is not going to be enough. So he says, it's not for me. For me, you're building it. You're building it for you. You build it to your own power. You do whatever you can, and that's sufficient. That's what we need. It's like this visitor comes. He's a very important guy. And the woman of the house hasn't got anything fancy to give him to eat. So what should she do? How can I give him this simple bread and thing? No, I cannot give him that. It's a prince. So, well, so he's going. So he's going to starve.
She got to ask Kaiten.
Yes, we're going to get her. So that's exactly the idea. You know, people think that sometimes if you're doing things from your heart, it can be a very small thing, but when the other side understand that you did it from your heart, it's an unbelievable feeling. It's like you come to somebody and he's very official, and like everybody, if you move a glass in the wrong way, they look at you like you killed them. And you know, some people are like this, you know. And would you come again if they invite you?
No.
On the other side, you come to another home and everybody's warm and laughing and having, eh, speed. You have a good feeling. So if they invite you, you come again. And nevertheless, you also go invite them. You maybe also will do other things with them because they are nice people to be. So,
Noah.
We have the whole list.
Yeah.
And then we are being told, Ve'asu Aron Atzei Shittim. By the way, there are two things that's written in plural, is the Mishkan and the...
Two things are written in what?
Plural. Ve'asu. Oh. All the other things you see, Ve'asita. When you look at it, Ve'tzipita, Ve'asita. The only... everything is in there. The idea is that those two things, because you see, we're going to see from now to the end of Sefer Shemot, details and more details about what? About the Mishkan and what's going around the Mishkan. And people can make a mistake and think that the most important thing in life is the Mishkan, because there's so much written about it. And the real truth is, are we architects? Do we need to know all those details? And if you're already talking about the Mishkan was built once and that's it. It's not going to build anymore. So why is the Torah telling us all those details and more details and more details? For what? Are we architects? Do we need to know it? Nevertheless, as we say, that the next thing that is going to build is not a Mishkan, it's a Mikdash. So in other words, there is something in those things. Yes, sorry.
No, I was going to ask you, Ve'asita. It shouldn't be Tasi, Tase.
Oh, that's what he just said. He said,
Asita is, I did it.
No, Ve'asita.
You do.
The idea is, generally speaking, the idea is like everywhere. Everybody has to donate his own things. In other words, my own ability, my own talent, my own things to the communal purpose. Okay. In other words, we are individuals. Don't forget it for a minute. We are individuals. Each one of us got a different talent and different power. But the idea is, even though I have a different power and a different talent and a different characteristic, all those things don't matter, because if I combine what I've got with what you've got and other got, that's exactly the idea. That's why on the whole thing, Ve'asu, we all build it. When you're talking about the ark where you put the Torah, Ve'asu, again in plural, because by the way, as we said, all those details just showing us how important is what. Because those are only the building that inside you put what? That's what's called Mishkan Ha'edut. The Edut is the Torah. Mm-hmm. In other words, the most important thing in the world is the Torah. So the Torah wants to show us how important it is that even the house that the Torah is supposed to be there, the Torah is telling us again and again and again and again and again. But the real truth is that there's so many things to learn from all those details. And
also that people are working together to make
As we said. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, because he talks to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them what to do. But yes, again, we see the singular and the plural going together. As like we said, Vasu li mikdash, v'shachanti betocham. The same idea.
Betocham was
the... It's plural.
It's plural, but...
cannot say Vasu li mikdash. No, Vasu li mikdash v'shachanti. La mikdash, to the mikdash. That's why it's not... That's exactly the question. So now we understand that the Betocham is not in the temple. Or the temple is...
Even in the Mishkan.
Yes, it doesn't matter the Mishkan or the Mikdash. Yes, exactly there. Because the Mikdash and the Mishkan are the same.
The Tochampo is among the people.
Yes, that's what they say.
Okay, exactly.
That's exactly what we say. That it's not... we're not talking about the building.
Right.
It's Vasuli Mikdash v'shachanti betoch. Exactly. When you build the temple in a way I want you to build, it means that you are worthy for God to dwell inside us, to come and live inside us. God doesn't live in a building of stones. God lives in our heart. That's where He wants to be.
I got my second wind. That's why I was falling off. Now I've got my second wind.
So, Ve'asu is on the Aron and on the Mikdash itself, to tell us that those two things are the basic, which each one of us has to have a part in it. There are certain things that each one can donate his own part, but there are certain things that everybody has to be a part of it. It's when we're talking about the Aron is what you put the Torah in. In other words, the Torah, everybody has to have a part. Either he learns or he supports those who learn. But you cannot go without being connected to the Torah. And now we'll see how important it is, all those details. And there's so much to learn from those details. But before that, I want to tell you a story. Talking about Parnoso, talking about who gave us everything. There's this famous story about, it happened around 50 years ago, maybe I told it to you again, this in Morocco. In Morocco was this Jew, he wanted to do Aliyah to Eretz Israel. The problem is that in Morocco at that time, most of the people didn't know to read and write. And this guy also didn't know to read and write. Now, he knew that when he comes to Eretz Israel, everybody reads and writes. 50, 60 years ago, that were, it's not like we're talking about 2,000 years ago. Everybody here in Eretz Yisrael knew to read and write.
Not really.
95% of the population,
I know,
okay?
Lenny, he had a machatenista who couldn't read and write.
Where was she from?
Morocco.
That's what we're talking about. that's what we're talking about. You see, I didn't have to ask where she was from. I told you right before where she's from. And that's exactly the problem.
The Temanim knew, of course.
They could read like this.
Yeah.
Yes. Why? Yes. Because they didn't have a lot of books. So the Mori, when they used to sit and learn, they were sitting around the book. So some saw the book from here, and the other saw the book from there. So they learned how to read.
Wow.
From the other side. Yes. Till today, I think there are the old Yamanites. They don't have to hold a book like this. They can hold the book like this and read it.
And besides this, they knew almost everything by the text.
Yeah,
that's all different. That's a different thing. Yes. Because they were not, they didn't have books. They had to learn. Yeah. So in Morocco, most of the people didn't know to read and write. Now, coming to Eretz Israel.
Even the Jews?
I'm talking about the Jews.
I'm telling you.
Okay. I talked about this week, and somebody told me that he used to teach his father to read and write when he was a kid going to school. He came back to school and taught his father how to read and write.
Yeah. Wow. There are so many Sherutlum with girls that try to teach her, they never succeeded.
No, if you don't want.
And her sons are engineers.
Don't have to. Now, this guy.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so this guy went to the rabbi. This was the son of the Baba Sali.
Son of Baba Sali.
Talking about 50, 60 years ago.
Okay.
Yes, Baba, I don't remember the name, I haven't got it near. One of the Babot, a really, really great rabbi. And he was, right, I think the town was Arpod or something like this in Morocco. So he came to the rabbi, I told him, I want to do Aliyah. But I'm worried about Parnassus. I don't know to read and write. The rabbi told him, don't worry. You go, Kodesh Baruch Hu will find you Parnassus. So the rabbi said, he's going. Comes to Eretz Yisrael, kisses the earth. And by the way, today people are talking so badly about Eretz Yisrael. You know, people who came to Eretz Yisrael years ago, they were so proud to come here.
Well, yesterday and the Ethiopians came. They kissed the...
I'm saying that unfortunately, I'm talking about the general... situation, which is not so good. Of course, Baruch Hashem, we still have people that love Eretz Israel, Baruch Hashem. But a lot of people don't really appreciate it. At those times, when people came, the first thing they did, they just kissing the earth. And thank you to God that they got to Eretz HaKodesh. Yeah. So this guy, after kissing the earth, okay, he's got to be in Spanosa now. And he goes and looks for Panosa, and of course, you know, even to be standing Kupat Cholim in the entrance, you need to know how to read the numbers about something. So, suddenly somebody comes to him, we want you to come to a job interview in a certain office.
Oh, huh?
Okay.
This is not a real story.
A real story.
It's a real story because it's just you like will a joke.
It's not a joke. It's a real story. And you will hear in a minute it's how God organizes things. Unbelievable, unbelievable story. Anyway, this guy goes to the office and they're putting in a waiting room and he sits. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour. Nobody comes to him. So he thinks to himself, he did a mistake. Now they understand who I am. I don't know to read and write. What am I doing in this fancy office? Who will take me to? I cannot find, hardly find a job in simple places, so in a place like this. He was sitting in this waiting room for an hour. He almost said, I'm going to come. They don't know how to tell me that they did a mistake. Suddenly the door opens. Come in. Okay, you accepted. Accepted? What
for
accepted?
What?
For what? Says, listen, we have a special job here. We show you the room. This is a room, and you have a shredder. Shredder is when you to take the paper
shredder.
And you shred them.
Yeah, a shredder. Yeah.
A shredder.
What
and you see, so you put to take paper. You know, instead of you don't throw papers, you just thread them. And
ah,
then
only
you,
to cut.
Ah, to cut
them.
To
yeah,
destroy.
Yes, to destroy them. He says, the only thing you will have to do is to shred, and be careful with your fingers not to put it in the machine. They told him the salary is going like this. He couldn't believe his ears. What, they're talking here about the top salary and the job in an office with air condition. You know, his friends are working in Machne Yehuda in the shuk, schleppers, and this guy is now sitting in an office. Now, this office was a top security office, one from the Misrada Bitachon, intelligent and something, and what was happening was really, it's an unbelievable story. They were dealing with top secret documents, and a lot of them they had to shred. The problem is, in order to do this, you needed a guy with a very high level of security. Otherwise, he's not allowed to go in and do it because it's a state secret.
So, we can't read
so this guy came to them. He says, "You know, I have in shul now an Olech Hadash from Morocco. He doesn't know to read, no write, and that's the best solution. You don't need anything about level of security because he cannot read anyway." So they said, okay, it's okay, but we have to check it. You know, it's not a game. You know, I'm talking about. So what did they do? They put him in this waiting room intentionally that to the level he's going to get bored. And they put a paper on the thing. So, I mean, you know, we get bored. What is he going to do? Start to read the paper, if he knows to read. So suddenly they see when he takes the paper, not like the Yamanite, they know how to read like this, but they knew, he doesn't even know what he's holding, how to hold the paper. Says, okay, that minute they called him in because they realized that he really doesn't know how to read and write. You see, life is funny. And you know, sometimes we say that the reality sometimes extends the fiction. It's unbelievable, you know.
Reality.
He was qualified for the job.
Truth is stranger than fiction.
Yes.
But there's a joke like that.
Yes.
The American guy, an immigrant comes and he can't read and write. He goes for an interview to be the shamus of a shul, and they ask him, you know, he can't read and write. You can't be the shamus of the shul. I mean, we need someone who can read and write. So he started to sign his checks with X, that's all. And he evolved into a very, very rich businessman. And all the years, I mean, he had a very good head, but he couldn't read and write, and he signed his checks with an X. So the people